Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are discussing, we're going to have a discussion today, I think. We're talking about the disintegration of relationship and also getting into why people betray us. So that will be an interesting discussion coming up momentarily. But first, I want to let everyone know where to call. It's 914-338-0164. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Currently, we don't have callers waiting, so we're going to get right into our topic. But we would love it if those that are listening followed us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find those accounts under our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And, okay, that's it for now.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, the little announcements that we always do at the beginning of the show, we can start talking.
You know, the idea of disintegration of relationship can practically be explained just on purely physical levels. People drift apart. People get angry. People betray one another. They have affairs. They break their word on certain promises. So on just a level of pure logic, we can talk about why relationships disintegrate. Communication breaks down. There's a loss of interest. Someone's going through, you know, through emotional problems. They lose their job. So all of these things are easily explained
on a physical level.
But then psychically, we go into a murkier waters in terms of why relationships disintegrate according to a psychic code. That part of the equation is established through the conditions of energy that were established before the parties even came to the planet. There can be a soul connection between two people where there is a somewhat of a contract, meaning a retribution. There can be retribution, which is a dark side of karma. If a person's coming back into the earth to seek revenge on somebody, and it's all part of a karmic story line where they were the victim and now they're going to be the perpetuate the incident, there is unfortunately in karma a clause for revenge, people seeking revenge, and some of these things are become really horrific: murder, slaughtering people, kidnapping, rape, and just a sheer sense of betrayal, robbing somebody, poisoning somebody in their sleep. I mean, why do people do this? We can always look at it psychologically or trace it somewhere, but the idea of where the content is on a psychic level, that's a whole different story. And unfortunately, on a karmic level, people do come back to seek revenge. And sometimes it's inevitable, which explains why some people, innocent people, seemingly innocent people, fall at the hands of somebody that's really, really dark. And it gets scary out there, because in the astral realm, which encompasses the environment of karma and past lives, there's a kind of non-emotional position of energy that says, okay, you want revenge, then that's it. There's a coldness there. We tend to think that the astral realm or beyond life, it's warm and cuddly. No, it isn't. To a great extent, it isn't. And to a great extent, it is. But karmically speaking, when we get into the element of the astral realm, there is darkness there. Not to mention some of the characters, demons and the low energies and negative energies. And the way that a soul can incorporate some of these things. In fact, on an astral level, a human soul can combine with dark, evil energies purely through the soul. The body's not there. And when the soul comes back into the earth with the body, the soul has now evil in its energy. And it starts off early. Kids mutilating animals and stuff like that.
Watching something about that.
Yeah.
About a child who ended up murdering in his, I guess, late teen years, but showed signs of violence very early. And obviously you wonder as a parent, I'm sure, where that comes from. Clearly, it can't be defined only on a linear level why a child would be like that at an early age without any exposure to violence or, you know, drawing pictures of people being stabbed with knives and blood.
Yeah.
And that's, where is that coming from, you know, if there's been no exposure to violence?
Right.
So obviously it's, you know,
there's a terminology, an artistic terminology called the bad seed. That was also, it was a novel made into a movie with Patty McCormick. That was a child actress who played the bad seed, meaning that you can be born just bad, born to be bad.
Have I seen that movie?
She has like hair combed over her forehead, blonde hair, and she was just evil.
Yeah, I believe
and
I've
she killed
seen that.
People and had a smile. She seemed to be
killing people with a smile.
Well, she set up incidences where people would be killed. And I don't think she didn't. It wasn't like in today's movies where she had a knife and she was going around killing people. But she set up incidences where people were killed and then she would kind of smile when they died and stuff like that. But she would set up and deliberately set things up. She would, in the movie, she's struck by lightning and she gets her just rewards. But the bad seed. See, the astral realm, we start to formulate these energies. Think of it, go back to Eden in that place, at least in biblical lore, where Eve is tempted by the serpent to eat of the tree of knowledge. And so there's this temptation of energy. Now, when people die and there's not an immediate clause or reason to just transcend,
yeah,
and they're kind of stuck in the astral realm because their activities in their prior life were very questionable in terms of motives and some downright dark things a person may have done. When that soul enters the astral realm, upon the departure of the body, it's got an energy field that's very attractable
to darker entities.
Yeah.
So it can be corrupted in the astral realm further than it was in the previous lifetime. So we're not talking about people who don't transcend but lived fairly good lives. There's more protection for those kinds of souls in the astral realm. And they do work maybe in, you know, different areas, quote unquote, classrooms,
yeah,
on their souls. But if you've lived questionably, then you're going to be more vulnerable to influence from the darker entities and astral.
That's right. I mean, we have our convenient metaphors. Think of it as a 13-year-old getting off of a bus at the bus station, wearing hot pants and high heels, and there's a pimp waiting for a victim. When souls enter, as opposed to maybe a woman, you know, a proper woman or whatever you want to call her, a pimp's not going to go after them. But when we talk about these incidences, when our souls enter, try to imagine the analogy. Now, if we enter the astral realm with a lot of darkness already on our soul, demons and lower entities are going to be very attracted to that.
And not to say that it, you know, just to make clear that if someone wears hot pants, it doesn't mean they're improper.
No,
it just
no,
makes
no,
them.
No.
I just wanted to clear because it's
using
just,
the, I was using
you know,
a convenient. No, that's not what I meant. But yeah, it's very true. It's very true that we, now our energies, you know, even Christ, get behind me, Satan, that temptation to be influenced by something dark.
Okay, let's bring on our caller and then we will get back to this. Hi, 302.
Hi. So my name is Jeff. I actually spoke to you guys, I think it was April or so.
Yes, I remember you, Jeff. I remember you, and you're on our Facebook, and you take a lot of pictures of food that you make, which I enjoy. I enjoy seeing.
So at the time when I spoke with you, you guys predicted, more or less 60,000 by June, and I don't have a proper update yet. I was actually holding out, but my friend was like, maybe you should call, because I have a weird conundrum that I've kind of just let it go, but, you know, there's a curiosity lurking in the back of my mind. So in June, I started interviewing with this company, went through 5 rounds of interviews, and then all of a sudden they just ghosted me.
Oh,
and
boy.
I don't know what to make of that. Now, and meanwhile, there was kind of overlapping the tail end of that. A friend of mine contacted me and said, you know, hey, the company that I'm working for is looking for somebody. I think you would be great. She recommended me for it, and I actually have a second interview on Friday. That one looks promising, but this whole 5 rounds of interviews and then being completely ghosted just baffles me entirely. And I didn't know if you guys had any thoughts on that, any insights about it.
And you're in New York, right?
I am in Buffalo.
Buffalo. And you're 62467. I had to look back at the notes. I didn't remember it. But 62467.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, you guys have like a dossier on me.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, 62467. That is correct.
Okay, so he's a 36.9. And
no, wait a minute.
Wait, did I do it wrong? 6, 7, 8, 12, 22.
You have 35.8.
35.8. Whoops. Little addition error there. 35.8. Now I remember too, because it was the discussion was his master number 35.8, but the problem is actually, you know, making money, because 8 is a number often associated with money, and so there is a little bit of a problem. Everything on your board is lower than 8. I think that's what we discussed last time. But but so your question today is about why the company rejected you. And if this go ahead.
There were 5 rounds of interviews.
No.
He ghosted.
Yeah. I mean, it's more, like I said, I've kind of just let it go. One thing I have noticed is that the position is still listed on their website as being open. So I'm just baffled, you know, because I went through round after round after round of interviews, and then they just went completely silent.
Was there anything in the interview process that, I mean, any question that you would deem like controversial in terms of your answer?
Not really. The only thing that I could think of is in the last interview, which was with, you know, one of the member of senior management. I threw out some suggestions and she didn't seem particularly receptive to them.
That's probably why, I would think. But what kind of things did you suggest?
Well, so it's a consulting company, and they have dozens upon dozens of white papers posted on their website. But in order to read any of them, you have to give them all your information and agree to be called by a salesperson. And so I said, and I wasn't really I don't know how. Basically, what I said to her is somebody who's just looking for answers, you know, a company, because they do business-to-business consulting. You know, a company may know they have a problem and they may be looking for answers, but they may not be convinced that you're the right one to provide the solution. And reading these white papers is the thing that would convince them. So saying you have to get into our sales funnel if you want to look at the white papers when they're not even sure yet that you have the right solution seems to me a little aggressive. And maybe you should let them read the white papers, and if you do have the right solution, then they will just naturally contact you. And she didn't seem at all receptive to that idea.
Yeah, I think that's what did it, Neil. I don't know if you have a different opinion, but it sounds like that was the turning point.
I agree, Jeff, and I think that your approach took in more of the human element than the aggressive business impersonal element. So she considered you to be too soft. But you know what? That's her loss. Goodbye. And that's your gain, because you keep that human element and don't let yourself become corrupted for the sake of business aggression. You can combine business aggression and still be human about it, but your thought on it, allowing a person to feel comfortable and giving something for them, eliminates that arrogance of business that is out for profit.
Well, and the pushy element of, you know,
yeah,
which is not appealing to me as a consumer.
Yeah,
so
right.
I agree to completely.
So, what was the average salary for this job?
We hadn't discussed money, but I'm pretty sure that it was in probably the mid to high 60s.
Okay, so it probably with taxes taken out, whatever, you might have pocketed $50,000 had you gotten the job. So the $50,000 that we predicted for June is still floating. The connection.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say this other opportunity, which is something in a totally different field, well, sort of totally different field. I mentioned when we spoke before that I had 16 years in banking. And I got out of it because I felt it was kind of soul-sucking. But this is back in banking, but it's actually doing training, corporate training for a large bank. And, you know, they kind of volunteered right up front that it's mid-60s.
Yeah. So if we take out taxes, you know, we're looking at close to 50, and that's about right.
We have another caller that's interested in going into corporate training too, actually, Jackie.
Yeah, and we must say that according to the Wells Fargo scandal, you need a good human element in banking. And
absolutely.
And Chris and I have preferences for banking. We won't mention, but there are very good human touches that are provided
even in the corporate world, at corporate banks.
This sounds like an excellent door, and possibly on the vibe of where you're going. You see, the $50,000 isn't outlandishly wrong. We're still capturing salary that would assume that. We're a little bit late in the date, but that could be because your personal journey of finding that moral, ethical standard and having a good combined relationship with the company, it is a noteworthy intrusion of time.
And you would,
it's okay.
You're better off not at a job where there is a difference in the ethics, you know, your ethics and the ethics the company has, or your standards.
Right.
I mean,
well, and as I noted, in both cases, I started interviewing in June, and, you know, when I originally spoke to you guys, you said approximately June, so I'm not really worried about the time frame.
Yeah.
It's much more important to me to find a good fit.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think is holding this element out. You see, and if we get into a deeper dialogue, just for your information, the attitude that you came in with was to have insight with spiritual reality, meaning your insights into the world is based on a spiritual premise, meaning the betterment for people. So even though your master number is 8, which means money, your commitment to making money has to be combined by code with your sense of spirituality. And in this case, spirituality would mean the ethical standards of dealing with people to make that money.
Absolutely.
That's where you're coming from. And so you're good. You're good to go. What, for waiting for the universe to kick in the job, that all you have to do is be persistent in what you're doing, because now it's the universe's responsibility to find that match, because you're agreeing to your concept.
And the process started in June, so that's encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, because the prediction was June, at least the ball is rolling, you know, at the June, the projected date. So you're not far away from that.
You saw your year is 6-7, June, July, and your master number is 8, August. We could play around with that a little bit and think about it. It could be August.
Right.
So just hang in there and do, and this new position that might be opening up for you might be considerable, because you, like you said, you had, what was it, 16 years in banking. That's your master number times 2. And you're basically 17 years past your karma of 35. That's, again, another multiple of 8, a little bit over. So we're in the right area. We just have to make the connection, but you're on the right territory.
All right, Jeff.
Okay.
So keep us posted on how things progress for you with the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let us know when there's a change. Call us up.
All right. Thanks.
Or before then, you can call too. But definitely let us know.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Take care. You're welcome. He does all this cooking, like he, you know, like, you know, at home, he takes lots of pictures of his food on Facebook. So, you know, and he does a lot of vegetarian, mostly vegetarian stuff.
I've got some wonderful pictures of boiling water. fabulous.
Don't let Neil cook for you. Okay, so we have a caller from a blocked number. So if you would please call back if you want a reading. Caller from the blocked number and unmask your number. We'll take your call. Okay, 404 area code. Hello.
Hi. 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 Christy. This is Shanithia. Hi.
Can you spell your name for us? I don't know if I've got it right.
Shanithia.
Shanithia.
Uh-huh.
Shanithia?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think we know you, right? You've called before,
yes,
right?
Yes, I haven't called in a while. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think. Okay. Go ahead with your question. What's your birth date again?
3/3/1994.
Okay. All right. Go ahead with your question.
I had just got a hit back from a job that I applied for, and it's a really good job. It's called Frito-Lay, and they told me yesterday that I met the requirements for the job. Do you see me working with them? Do you see me going in?
What kind of job is it? I mean, you said for Frito-Lay, but what would you be doing?
It's a merchandise. It's a merchandising position. Uh-huh.
Merchandising. So you go from store to store and like put the products in the store.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you're wondering if you're going to get the job. They said you were a good fit.
Yes, they sent me an email back saying that I met the requirements and I took the assessment, and they told me that my application was passed to the hiring manager.
Okay. Are there other applicants, do you know, competing for the same position? I'm sure there are.
I think so. I'm not sure. But I had applied for it as soon as they posted it.
So you were one of the earlier applicants.
Yes.
It looks good. I mean, it just from your report, it looks good. Vibration-wise, it feels good. I think probably, well, vibration-wise, I'd say like the vibration feels like an 80.
Yeah, exactly
high.
What I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought about an 80.
What we mean by that is that the competitive factor and other people looking for the job that are also qualified, your destiny working with them at this point in your life is not totally secure, because other people may have an energy field with them that is equatable or even higher than yours. So that vibrational position is still activating as we speak. So it can't be a sheer prediction, but we can put out energy for you since you called that you do get the job. Maybe our energy will help boost you into there. You know, that what they're going to want is, if they're training you, they're going to want to make sure, you know, that there's a durability, that you're going to not get tired of this, and, you know, how long can you sustain yourself and be organized. And I guess being a woman, that I don't know, they worry about your muscle tone or if you can lift these things or, you know, what.
Yeah, you probably have to lift 45 pounds or something like that, or 50 pounds. Do they require that? I mean,
yes.
She's obviously met the requirements. But have you, when did they email you?
I got the first email Monday, the day I applied, and I just got another one yesterday.
So you have... I'm sorry, I'm confused. You applied. Have you interviewed? Did she say she interviewed?
No, I haven't interviewed yet. They just told me I met the congratulations that I met the qualifications for the job.
So it's not. I mean, you applied on Monday, so it isn't really that far along because you haven't even gone through the interview process yet. So that's
that might account for that discrepancy and between 80 and 100%. Because you have to be interviewed, and, you know, then a lot of those people, unfortunately, a lot of those people that I see in the market that do that, they're men. I don't know why, but they're men.
Yeah.
I don't know if they think men are going to, you know, be able to handle the load or whatever. I think it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But.
Well, especially when they're beverages, because those are heavier, I think, probably. But Frito-Lay is, it's chips.
Yeah.
But do you do, which. I don't know if they have, like, what other things would you be delivering? Because I know they make snacks, but I don't know if, like, there would be, if Frito-Lay owns, I don't know.
I only just need chips because they told me to watch the video for the position. I've seen the video. All I'm seeing is that you drive your own vehicle to the location, go to their back of their warehouse, grab the snacks from the back, and bring them back and stock them out. Just the chips. I didn't see the drinks.
Use your own car.
You use your own car to distribute these to the market?
Yes, but the product is already at the market.
So you don't deliver the products like someone for like a liquor company would, like Young's Market, where there's your job is to drive a truck and unload the truck. You're unloading the warehouse at the location.
You're just stocking
and
doing inventory.
Yes, just stocking and doing inventory and like the display shelves.
Do they pay you for your mileage? I mean, are you independent contractor?
I think they said they pay you for your mileage, and I think they're it's hourly. It's starting out at $16.77.
Your options just went up because they're going to have a hard time. They're going to have a harder time finding a, you know, all these stereotypes. They're going to have a harder time finding a man to do that. There are plenty of women, they go, okay, so it's not a lot of lifting. You're just going to take your car. You're going to do stocking, inventory. They want to make sure you're organized, that you're responsible. And they're not going to care about male or female in this regard. So now it's gone higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it's, you know, they said you've made it to the next round. You're being passed along to the hiring manager. I guess they're going to contact you for an interview at this point. I don't know. I might send an email back and say, thank you so much for considering my application. I'm so pleased that I've reached this level, and I look forward to the opportunity to speak to the next, you know, the hiring manager.
Say, I'm sure you'll find me dependable, durable. I'm looking for long-term employment.
That makes it, you know, when you communicate back like that, I think that makes an impression, you know, that's going to set you apart from the other applicants who may not respond to the email.
And say, I'm accustomed to routine. I like routine. You know, even if you don't, just say,
I have my car is, you know, in good condition.
I'm on time. I'm prompt and organizing the store.
And I love Frito-Lay.
I love Frito-Lay. And just say, I take pride in organizing and making sure everything's on top and sitting right. I take pride, personal pride in that. Say that to them.
Okay. Okay.
Let us know, though, what happens. We'd love to hear.
So do you see them do you see me through the door, like, interviewing with them?
Well, if your application is going to be passed the hiring manager, yes. I mean, they've already indicated that you're made it to the next step. So
you got a uniform letter. You got a letter that they send to everybody who qualifies at this level.
Right.
They don't know you beyond that right now.
Okay.
But you got that letter. So you're going to be in the pool of being interviewed. But right now, all they don't see a face. They just see that you qualify to be interviewed. And that they sent that letter out to everybody.
That qualified. But setting yourself apart by responding to the email and, you know, saying some of the things that we mentioned on the radio a minute ago would help, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the share prediction is confused a little bit by it's not an accurate destiny, but we will put out energy for you to see if we can move it into that zone.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. You guys helped me so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't think Shanita is on her Facebook, but she can be. She should follow us and join our show page. Okay. She can find us on our Blog Talk Radio profile. 917 is our next caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for taking my call. This is official name, Karen Sue, in New York. I'm kind of lost right now. I'm sorry?
A sultry voice. It's, you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I'm kind of at a weird place. I'm not sure what's ahead for me, so I was looking for some guidance.
Okay.
I recently lost my partner, best friend, love of 15 plus years. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
So it's impacted my life in a million ways. And I'm feeling very lost, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life and how to support myself financially. He was helping a lot. Anything that comes through, I would greatly appreciate.
I'm so sorry. We're both very sorry that you lost him. Oh,
yes,
so
it's
difficult.
Very recent, so I keep breaking up whenever I think about it or mention it. I'm sorry.
Well, I would be the same way. I mean, it's just, that's very, very hard to go through. Was it unexpected or?
Well, he had been sick a long time. I think he probably didn't even, you know, he hit a lot of his symptoms, but he was such a trooper. He kept dealing with all the treatments and coming through. And so I thought it would be more of the same, at least for a little while.
So it was sooner than you expected, but
this time he seemed to go like very, very fast. Within 10 days, he just deteriorated and wasn't quite himself, and then that was it. It was very scary. He thought he was pulling out of it, but he didn't.
Was this cancer?
Yeah, it was cancer, but the thing that got him were in pneumonia and urinary tract infection. They weren't even able to resume the chemo.
And what was the origin of his cancer? What was the nature?
Well, it was he had various bone marrow cancers, and they morph into different diseases. They don't know exactly when it happened, but it became acute myeloid leukemia, the aggressive kind. Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's get your birth date and his birth date.
Okay, I am 3/29/50, and he was 6/4/48. He had just celebrated his 71st birthday a few weeks before.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
24. And you're a 29/11 too. Yeah. 6/10/10.
32/5.
And your master numbers hold his karmic number and the division and your number. 3/2. You have three separating the two master numbers, which is his karmic number 32, and you hold his karmic number in your first two numbers. So it's definitely a strong connection between the two of you. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 5, and actually your 3/29 is a 5. He has a 10 factor going on, which is that zero is, accounts for the illness.
The karma of your relationship with him, you said 13 plus years.
15 plus, I thought she said. Did you say 13
or 15?
Well, we were living together about 15 or so. We were involved before that, since the mid to late 90s.
Okay, 15 years you were with him.
Which would be
living
three cycles of his master number.
Yeah.
Do you, Karen Sue, do you work?
No.
Right now? I'm sorry?
No.
So you're retired.
Yeah, I guess you'd say that.
Yeah, you're 69. His karmic number, Karen, was 32. Those are your first two numbers.
Uh-huh.
So his birth date adds up to 32 equals 5. 32 is your first two numbers. You have a 29 in there, which is basically that's the problem in the relationship. So here you've hit it. You've lost your mate after all these years. You're alone. You're 69. You're going through the devastation of that loss.
And
now you're worried financially, security-wise.
Also, his master number is in her year next to a zero. So it's kind of, there's a code there implying that loss will happen.
If part of this is a hard journey, because what you have to do in your mind, and it's the most difficult thing, is say, I've got to move on. I got to keep my life until I die, and until I move into a natural state of transcending, going over. So part of this is going to be tough, because you lost this person. You weren't prepared for this in the respect of spending your rest. You thought you would spend the rest of your life with him. Now you're not with him. And you're thinking, well, am I going to be alone? Will I find someone? Am I even prepared for that? What about my financial security? What's going to happen? Would you guys see anything in the book of the future that brought this on? Well, your 29 represents trouble. It's a karmic number that's problematic. So we've established now where that's coming in. What you have in your energy, you have a 5 and a 0, and that 0 can be a little bit potentially concerning because of the very nature of what it means in numerology. However, there's a couple of things that I'm picking up on. Kristen may pick up on something too that is intriguing me. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions that may or may not pertain to you, but I still need to ask the questions. Do you have a sister?
Yes.
So that's a site. See, the question to your future involves a little bit of a course we have to follow. And on that course, I pause, like in a like on a game board, and I stop on a square, and one square says sister. So then I ask you, and you go, yes, I have one. Is that a problematic relationship or a good relationship?
Mostly good.
Good. I
think
there have been some problems, and sometimes there is.
Uh-huh, but mostly
but,
good. Now, in your background, I'm going to let Kristen, she might be eager to add something, but are there any teachers at all in the history of your background, your family, genealogy, anyone who did any kind of teaching on any level?
In my family? No. Mm-mm.
Extended family?
No.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if this would be considered extended family. We never married, but I kind of feel like it was a married relationship in a, you know, the same way. But anyway, his daughter from a, you know, his first marriage is a teacher, and her husband are teachers, and also his sister was an art teacher, if that means anything. But I don't relate to teachers.
This was a past relationship that you had, though?
No, with him.
Oh, with him?
The past.
The 648. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
I thought she was saying someone else. So
that's it.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. And what that means, since the teacher is validated on his side, but I got the vibration on your side, what that tells me is that this was your soulmate. You can tell me, but I'm telling you now, this was your soulmate. You were met. You had a union with him before you were even on the planet in this lifetime. And the idea of perceiving a teacher, and it all goes to his side of the map, is sheer validation. It just means that the fact that it's on his side means that you're a soulmate, because I was getting it through your energy first. Mm-hmm. So now what's happening is that he's on the other side, and I'm going to step over the line and say, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to assist you in the aftermath of his demise and death. Somewhere in the astral realm, he's trying to assist you. I don't know yet what he can do, but I'm telling you that vibration-wise, I'm feeling a signal from him that he's here to assist you and help you.
So I want to ask, what obstacles are you facing currently? Since he was helping out, I mean, was there any estate that he left you, anything tangible that can assist you since you're not working with taking care of expenses?
No. Yeah,
so,
unfortunately, I had been supported by government disability and complicated legalities. It wouldn't have worked out if we got married. They would have given less money. And so anyway, I don't have anything legal and could not inherit anything.
You could not inherit anything even? Okay. So
there wasn't much to inherit anyway, Joe.
Huh?
Would have been a little bit, but nothing big anyway.
Right. So
I would like to get off of this, you know, I feel like they shafted me, and that's a whole other story. And
Who shafted you?
I've been haunted of how to get off this program and how can I make money and be independently secure.
Right. How much money do you get a month for? How much money do you get a month for disability?
Yeah, man. Well, at this point, it's only like $300.
$300?
Yeah. So you'd think it would be easy to replace, but I don't know how. I don't want to, you know.
Can you survive on what you're making now? Or are you in trouble of being evicted or anything like that?
For a few months, I'll be okay, and I'll probably need another roommate. I hate this. I don't want to live like this.
Right. Do what? If you were to work, when was the last time, how long has it been since you worked?
A million years. I don't have a real, never had a steady job. I had a million different jobs. I was pursuing acting and then trying different jobs on the side, trying to find something else that might satisfy me instead of acting, which never happened. I hated every single job I had. So it's not like, oh, let's go back to that career. Don't have a career.
And that's probably why your disability is low, too, because there's not a strong work.
In those days, I worked a lot off the books and freelance. I never thought of, you know, and what happened was things got stopped because I ended up taking care of my grandmother as, you know, her main caregiver for 10 plus years when my mother
died.
So I kind of had to put my acting and everything on hold, and then that was that. So my life is a
Karen, in your pursuit of acting, what was the high point?
When I did shows and I felt, you know, and I got accolades or whatever. And
well, like, I mean, but like, what level? Do? Like how, I mean.
What were you, did you do live theater? Did you do a movie?
Oh, I did a lot of theater. Off Broadway in New York. Theater group thing, off Broadway stuff.
Well.
No money or pittance money.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So here's but if you get a roommate, a really stable, reliable roommate, can that alleviate some of your problem?
Well, but
you don't want a roommate, particularly probably.
Yeah. I don't want a stranger. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you were to reenter the workforce and get off this program, you're saying you want to get off the program. What is it that you would do? Do you have any ideas?
No.
Yeah.
I wish there was some online business I could just do from home. It would be easy.
Amazon sometimes hires for people that answer the phone, you know, and help people with orders. They do hire. You should look. Because that's something that's, you know, an entry level position, and, you know, you could do it from home, and sometimes they are hiring, and others, I guess they're not, but they do these hiring sprees.
I'm going to ask you another question. You might be able to answer it. You may not. Did you ever in your whole entire life know anyone named Penny or Pamela or Pam?
I think when I was a young girl, there was a Penny at a camp, and I think Pam or Pamela, I've come across some, but can't place right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you not able to, is your disability such that you have to stay home?
No. Well, it was chronic fatigue, depression. So I don't have great energy every day. I've been working with the doctor. It's not like, you know, I can't walk or that kind of thing.
I'm going to ask another question. Did you ever know anyone who ever worked in a jewelry store?
I don't think so.
Do you like jewelry? Is it interesting to you?
Yes.
Well, this may be a hard road, but you could become a salesperson in a jewelry store. Not that you will, but you're having a difficult situation, and we're trying to psych out something for you. Aside from the fact of who's Alan? Who's Alan?
Okay, Nick, that was my partner. His ex remarried, and that husband's name is Alan.
Okay.
And he has money.
The ex's husband.
Okay, so you see, that Alan came in from your partner. Your partner told me that name.
Yeah.
Just to validate that your partner's around.
Well,
You may not like the idea, but try to see if there's a sales job in a jewelry store local to you. Try that route first. Even if you don't like it, just try it and then get back to us.
Okay, I'm trying to picture where there are any local jewelry stores in the neighborhood.
I don't know. Just think about it. Let's just start there, because you have a complicated problem, Karen.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure it out for you. And we're doing some psychic brainstorming. And we seem to have some help from Alan. And I'm also getting a David.
David. Yeah,
what?
I did have a friend, David. I haven't spoken to him in a couple of years.
We'll contact him.
Yeah.
You know, your ex is talking to me. I don't want to even call him ex.
Not ex, your partner.
Your partner's talking to me and telling me.
What's his name?
Mitch.
Mitch.
Nick.
Well, he's talking to me. He didn't give me his name, but he's giving me other names.
Well, probably.
I wish I could talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You might.
Do you
might
have any dreams about him? Do you have dreams?
No. Sometimes I think I feel him and I imagine him talking to me, but then I say, oh, it might be my imagination.
No, he's around. He's around. And I'm picking up a certain vibration where that part of the information is coming to me. He's probably trying to send me his name. I just wasn't getting that vibration. My fault. But he gave me other vibrations I picked up on.
You know, and it's possible that you can set your, you know, if you do a little exercise and try to bring him in before you go to sleep at night, you know, focusing on him, lay on your back, that you might bring him into your dream process. So I'm sure that would be comforting to you too. But
yeah, thank you.
Well, we are. Just got our 90-second warning, but call us back. We're on Wednesdays and Fridays, and so let us know how your search for the jewelry store went, and if there's anyone hiring, because that would be encouraging. So, you know, keep us updated on what's going on with you.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate all the time you put in and your love and compassion, and I feel a lot better, and I have things to check out.
So glad
Thank
to hear
you
that.
So
you're very welcome.
Bless you
Take
both.
Care. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Okay, we're back on the air on Friday. We can continue our talk at that point, and hope we hear from callers on Friday as well. Bye-bye.